Phyllis Ainsworth has lived in the Corner Country and worked as a boundary rider on the dog fence for more than 15 years. She's one of the many women that keeps things running in the corner. Aside from making sure the fence is in working order, she volunteers with the RFS, SES and ambulance service. She explains the allure of life in the desert.
I think it's just the open space. It's quiet. Yeah, I've just grown into myself and just decided now I like being out here. I was never a city girl. I used to live in Adelaide many years ago, and just I've slowly moved further and further out and just found my spot with Dad. And yeah, it's like it gets in your system once you're out here. It does get in your system. So yeah, I don't think I'll be going anywhere in quite a while.
And you've kind of got a little bit of your dad's streak where you've got your hand in quite a few places. You were serving beers at the pub last night. You're on the dog fence.
Yeah, Jill of all trades.
Yeah.
Mastered most. Yeah, so besides, working on the fence, I give Melissa a hand in the pub on weekends when she needs it. And any other day that if I'm in town, she's always appreciative of the help. And, yeah, so I'm also with the RFS and the SES and also a volunteer AMBO. So, yeah.
So you keep busy.
Yeah. The only time I have to myself is when I'm actually at work or at home. Yeah.
What do you think people might find surprising about this patch?
About this patch?
Yeah.
Pretty much that most of the town is run by women. Our four main businesses, the two pubs, the roadhouse and this shop, our local police officer is a lady and our school principal is a lady. So, yeah, that's pretty much everything covered. The multi-purpose centre, that's run by another lady as well. She comes up. They haven't got anyone permanent here yet, so there's a lady that comes up from Broken Hill and she looks after that. So, yeah, pretty much everything in town is run by women and, yeah, it does shock a lot of people.
Kind of breaks the myth that this part of the world is a man's world,
doesn't
it?
No, there's no such thing as a man's world. It's dominated by women. It might be a man's world, but it's dominated by women. Most men don't want to hear that, but there, what? That's the sad, hard truth about it.
You mentioned that you really love the isolation.
Yeah, I do. I do like. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, it does get lonely. I am on my own out there. I have been for a couple of years now, but you know that's part of life. If I miss people, I just come into town. You know, and if I don't want to be around people, I stay home. And that happens. I do get sick of people. But, yeah, then I do, yeah. So, and if I really want to go out, then I pop down to Broken Hill and have a night out and then think, yeah, no, that's it for me. I'm going home again for another few weeks. So, yeah.
Yeah. And do you have any other kind of ways of keeping, I don't know, sane out here?
Just depends what you want to do. Like, I mean, I just go for drives and just check things out, you know, because I'm where I live, I'm pretty much surrounded by a national park, Sturt National Park. So, yeah, there's afternoons where I'll finish work and jump in my car and go for a drive through the national park and check out all the new water that's now there. But, yeah, there's some really pretty spots through the national park. And at the moment, with all the rain we've had this year, a lot of the big lakes like Lake Pinaroo on the western end of Sturt Park is absolutely chockers and it's beautiful. And the birds out there and it's just nice and peaceful. And wet my feet in the lake and have a bit of a swim and then come back.
Beautiful. Swimming, that's a new thing to be able to
do out here. Well, I've got a full tank of water at home in the dam these days, so I have my own swimming pool. But it's pretty cold, so yeah, I get a bit wary about swimming in really cold water. The body can go into shock pretty quickly and nobody would even know where I was and I'd be lying on the bottom of the dam. Yabby food.
I guess when you are out working by yourself and living by yourself a lot, you got to really take extra precautions, don't you?
Yeah, you really, you need to be really self-aware of your surroundings and how to look after yourself, like, you know. And it's not just a matter of making sure you've got plenty of water, it's rehydrating your body overnight. So I drink quite a bit of water overnight, some with alcohol, some without. But yeah, so when I know we've got a really big bank of really hot weather, I will try and have at least 2 litres of water overnight, and that just sets the body up for the next day. And then, yeah, I'll take 2 to 3 litres of water a day to work. And it's just managing. Make sure you got, you know, well, we have to wear long sleeves and stuff, but hats, take cloths to put around my neck if I need to, you know, it's just working smart. And it's living smart. Anyone out here will tell you the same thing, like, especially station people. You know, they've been doing it for donkey's years. So it's all just being smart. Smart out in the heat.
I know for me, living out in these parts, sometimes a way of enjoying yourself or having survival is, you know, some kind of little treat. Mine's baths. Especially if I've gone out camping, you know, for a week, coming home and having a nice bath,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little drink in there as well.
Oh, yeah, no, you don't do one without the other.
Do you have any little indulgences that you allow yourself just to make yourself feel like, you know, it's a nice place to be?
Oh, well, I love my baths. I love them. So, yeah, I'll set my music up and the candles in the bathroom. Like, most people wouldn't know this about me. I'm a bit soft like that, but yeah. Most people see a pretty tough exterior, but yeah, I'm quite a softie, and I do enjoy my baths and that quiet time. You know, I'll even just ignore my phone, take it off the hook, turn off the computer and phones, and so nothing annoys me, and just, yeah. I'll have all my candles going in the house and
beautiful.
Yeah, have all my rocks, all my crystals set out. So yeah.
Got to take care of yourself, don't you?
Oh yeah, yes, very much. I've learnt that very much over the last few years. I've got right into that sort of thing. So yeah.
If anyone was coming out here to visit, is there any one or two things that you'd tell them to go and see or places?
Oh yeah, oh, there's a few. There's quite a few places around Tibooburra. So, Dad's already mentioned Sunset Hill, and it's like really nice up there, especially sunsets. If there's a bit of cloud around, the sunsets are amazing. If you're brave enough, you can do sunrise as well. This time of year, it's getting later. It's around 6 o'clock now, so it's not so bad. But yeah, so the national parks have got quite a few places to visit. Like Lake Pinaroo has got water back in it now for the first time in about 10 years. National Parks have just purchased Narriera Station. So they've got all that set up out there. Lake Carriapundi, there's a lookout out there. I think that's how you say it. They've also got a museum at Mount Wood that's quite interesting. Dead Horse Gully, which is a bit of a camping area in town as well. But that's got a lot of that's set up with a lot of old gold mining instruments and bits and pieces on how hard they did it back then. So there, it's quite a few interesting places around town. The National Parks Office has a bit of a museum in there as well. Milperinka, which was an old gold mining town as well as Tibooburra. Ruth Sando, who's just received an amazing award, and she has done a fantastic job of setting up the Milperinka precinct. There's a mountain of history and information down there. Out at Mount Poole, we've got Poole's Grave up the lookout. Climb that, it's huge. I still haven't done it. so that they're all worth going out to look at. Cameron Corner, of course, which is the iconic corner post where the three states of New South, Queensland and South Australia meet. And it's a nice drive out through there. Takes you out through the park. So yeah, there's quite a few different places to go. But yeah, just drive through the national parks. It's really pretty.
And do you have any tips for travellers on these roads?
Slow down and drive to conditions. With the volunteering I do, the accidents you see, some can be avoided. And I, like, there are accidents, and you know, accidents aren't always just bad luck. Some are caused. So, and I will put that out there, they're not always just an accident. If you slow down, drive to conditions, listen to what locals have to say. You know, if they say, look, just be careful when you go out there, stick to the speed limit, because corrugated roads will throw you very, very quickly and you won't have time to react. So maybe even drop your tyre pressures a little bit. That just gives your car a bit of better ride on the corrugated roads. Make sure you're well prepared. You've got plenty of water, two spares if you can, because it's a long way to walk if you've only got one spare. And depending on the time of the year, you might not see anybody for a couple of days. So just being prepared. Always have plenty of food with you as well. Food and water. Water's your big thing. Be prepared for flies. They're friendly. And they don't give up.
And they're up early.
Oh, they're up. I don't even think they go to bed. If they do, the mozzies take over. So we do have mozzies at the moment. So just make sure you've got your fly sprays and, your stuff, your mozzies. And you can purchase all that in town. So there's no dramas there. But, yeah, just being prepared, that's probably the biggest thing.
And when you have as many tourists through your town as this one does, you know, there's good and there's bad tourists.
Oh, yeah. There's always good and
what
bad.
What are some tips on how to be a good tourist?
Be respectful on the road. We don't get too many bad tourists, really. I mean, some people are just rude and that's just them and they get shut out pretty quickly. You know, you can pick a rude person from a mile away. Well, I can. And working in bars, I've worked in bars on and off since I was 18, so that's quite a few years. being in my mid-50s, I've seen it all. And anyone that's worked in hospitality, you know, you can pick a person as soon as they walk in the door. So, you know, what you give is what you get, basically. So be respectful to people, you know, be polite. Manners are free. There was a couple of rallies that came through a few years ago now, and it was out at Cameron Corner, and one of my childhood idols, music idol, John Paul Young, and he's my height, he's short. He was really lovely. I got photos with him, but yeah, he was on, and now I think it was a Variety Bash rally, and yeah, he was just lovely. So I've met him. And had photos, and Gavin gave me a kiss on the cheek, and I blushed. but yeah, he's been a big standout. Yeah, like I idolised him when I was younger, and I still do. He's quite good looking too. As small as it is, it's an easy town to live in. Probably the biggest frustration with everybody is when the power goes down anywhere south of here, we are out of power. We had an instance only a month or so ago where a big storm went through south of here and snapped three power poles, and the guys couldn't get to it for nearly 2 days because it was so wet. So we were without power for about 3.5 days. So everybody's got generators going, and you know, everyone's just trying to help each other out as much as we can. And that's probably the most frustrating part, is when the power goes out, and then we have a phone tower that's very unpredictable. So phones go down quite often as well. But yeah, that's probably the frustrating bit, is just the power and the phones. It's a pretty personable place to live. It's pretty cool.
Reckon you'll stay here?
Yeah, as long as Dad's feet are above ground, yes. I'm not leaving him. I'm the only one up here. All the rest of the family live in Adelaide. So he doesn't know this, but I promised and vowed I wouldn't be leaving any time soon while he's above ground. And he better stay around for a while yet. I need a drinking buddy.
Thanks to Phyllis Ainsworth for her time and generosity sharing stories. I'm Amy Volkovsky. This episode of Meet the Locals was produced by Bushwitch Productions in collaboration with Jason King Media for the Sturt Steps touring experience. Sturt Steps is a touring route that covers over 1,100 kilometres in the Corner Country, outback New South Wales. This project is funded by the New South Wales Government and administered by the Milparinka Heritage and Tourism Association Incorporated. For more information, head to the website at www.sturtsteps.com.au.